Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Barbara Eldridge, your host for Trendsetting Women, and our topic today is Finance Today. Our leading lady is Mary Jo Ray, and she owns RCR Financial. Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Barbara.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
The weather out here has cooled down.
Yes, it has. Well, you know, I just want our listeners to understand that you label yourself a CFO, and I know that really, to me, differentiates you. And so I guess let's start out by sharing what that difference is from, let's say, a bookkeeping service. What do you do differently for your clients than a regular bookkeeping service?
A CFO differentiates from a bookkeeper because they do more than just enter the information and give you reports. They look at the trends of your business. They look at the what's going on right now. They reach out to you if there's something going on. Like, for instance, in COVID, I reached out to all my clients to go over the different types of financing that was available, see what they wanted, see what would help them. I helped them apply for the loan. One client has gotten their award granted already. So we stay in touch with the client and look at where they want to go. One of my clients last month, I gave them the heads up that you've committed all these expenses to build your project, which is running late. You need to do something to bring revenue in sooner so that you don't run out of cash before the project goes live. And we worked together on a plan, worked with the management team so that I could get their ideas, get their input. And within 2 weeks, they had a plan that kept all the staff on, even if the plan runs a month later than where it's currently scheduled.
Wow. That really has an effect. I mean, I know you have been an in-house CFO for a company that had lots of products, so I guess that's where that understanding of what has to come together takes place for you. But that's you know, it's always interesting because most small business owners don't have access to that type of advice sometimes. So what do you see business owners having the most trouble with when it comes to the financial areas of their business?
The single most common problem is cash flow planning. One company I worked with had a really great year. They grew their staff, and then they bonused everything out to the owners of the company. And it's a cyclical business, so they ended up having to let four people go the next year and really had to struggle to maintain the same volume of business because they were understaffed because they'd bonus themselves out. They didn't think about saving cash for the low season. And the client I earlier mentioned, you know, I look at cash flow not just today, but 6 months over, and I've gotten 6 months ahead. I've gotten really good at planning cash flow so that it wasn't even on the horizon that they had a problem, and they wouldn't have had a problem until January. If you wait till January, you don't have as many options to fix it as if you say, okay, we have a problem coming up. Let's fix it. Let's see what we have to do so that we can still make our goals. We can still have this project go live. We can still maintain the volume we had last year and grow it in the future.
Well, you know, I had a discussion with one of my clients this week, and she was so proud of the fact that she had looked at her numbers and realized that she had made more money, obviously, in the first of the year than she's done lately. But I asked her the question, and I'm sure this is some of the things you do. I asked her the question, what was the relationship between the time spent and the amount that she charged? Did she reduce her prices? Did she, you know, and she went, oh. You know, she had no idea why those numbers changed. So I'm sure you see a lot of that. People just don't get in deep enough. And it sounds like that's what you bring to the table for them.
Right. And they, looking at your industry, the seasonality of the company, special projects you have coming on. The most fun for me is when a company wants to grow and they say, we want to be able to grow to X. What do we need to do that? So we put together a whole plan. Sometimes they find their plans are a little aggressive for the cash that they have. Sometimes the extra knowledge I bring to the table says, okay, this is the cash I need to go figure out how to get, whether I'm going to borrow it, get an advance, and look at different options and have the time to look at the cost of the option.
So you really get to understand, you know, their product line even because of the cost and the effect of all of that. It just sounds very detailed, Mary Jo. How do you work? Go ahead.
Cash flows, to me, is just fascinating. One time I got called in to help a client that had a problem, and I said, the first question I asked them was, from the time you order a supply, when do you have to pay the bills? And they had no clue what that was, and they kept saying, well, it depends. And I had to get them relaxed enough to really talk about their whole flow. And for that business, the right question was, from the day you receive the product, when do you have to pay the bills? Because some of the products were special orders, took 6 months to get in. Some products they could order for 2 days, but once the product was in, there was a set time. So every business has its own little personality, and figuring out that personality and making the cash happen is for me, that's just fun.
Oh, you know, you're unlike most people who want to hide from it. I am sure, you know. So do you have to come in sometimes and set up all the bookkeeping for people? Or, I mean, I've heard of it before where people just get a whole bunch of paperwork and say, here, do something with this. How much of that do you have to take on?
Well, I have some help for that, and I have some software for that. I just love technology. And recently they've come out with some software that you can scan it in, and it does it starts the guesswork, so that makes that process where I used to cringe if someone came in with a paper bag full of receipts or something. Now I'm like, we've got it. We can get this done. So
that has made
that a lot easier.
I guess so. And I guess you have to work with different, you know, I mean, QuickBooks has been out there for a long time, but there's so many other applications that different people use. I guess you have to keep up with all of those.
Well, I don't think you could keep up with all of them, but certainly I'm familiar with several other ones. I've done Sage, I've got a client that's doing Xero right now. So you not only do you have to do the accounting software, though, in today's world of technology, to make things as efficient as possible, you have to connect various industry software to whatever accounting system you have. One of my clients uses Stripe as an escrow agent, and getting as much information out of Stripe into QuickBooks has been very challenging to figure out how to automate as much as we can. Getting it there isn't the hard part. It's getting as much detail as you'd like to have.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's QuickBooks. But there's a lot of applications of having one computer talk to another. With a lot of the programs, I can help with the mapping. Sometimes the client wants so much information, we have to hire someone to help with it. But in general, most of the information that goes into accounting, a lot of the applications are set up so I can map it and we can get it there.
So, you know, okay, so you work now more as a contract CFO, correct?
Correct.
So how do you keep up with the changes in the marketplace, the technology? You know, what transpires, because you don't always have, not all of your clients are within the state of California, am I correct?
Correct. We have clients in 12 different states, or in essence, clients with employees in 12 different states. Some of them have headquarters in, you know, Arizona, Delaware, Florida. So some of my clients I've never actually even met in person, which fascinates me. But we work with them. We stay up
very
on the
regular. I must say, Mary Jo, those are very trusting people. Because, you know, I've always found people are very, you know, hold their financial stuff very close to the chest. So to turn it over to somebody that they've never met is very interesting. But I'm sorry, continue on.
I will say they came highly recommended by a professional that I've worked with for years in every case. They've all
Absolutely.
Come through either lawyers or CPAs that
I've
worked
with. Have no doubt about that one. Okay. So how
yes.
do you keep up with those changes?
I enroll in various the experts in the area and read the email if I feel that I have emails coming in regularly. I attend webinars. I attended one yesterday on diversity, equity, and inclusion. I keep them up to date on accounting procedures that come in. We actually don't do taxes, but I keep it. I do read the tax changes that are coming through, and I talk with CPAs about what they're finding that businesses need to do. So that a lot of my time is spent learning what I need to learn to be up to date.
Wow. But then there's all, you know, when you talk about those companies having people working out of state, aren't there different regulations for that? You know, how do you stay, you know, you have to stay in touch with you know, everything from what, HR to sales tax and all of that?
Well, for this, several of my clients have companies in multiple states. I've gotten to be quite good at that, but the way I've gotten to be good at that is they deal with a national payroll company that has HR services. So the
mm-hmm.
HR regulations are actually reviewed by this company, because I would spend way too much time trying to make sure I stayed up if I didn't have an expert working with me. So they send
mm-hmm.
me emails, and like this year with COVID, not only did we have the financing, there were all kinds of regulations coming out to help businesses and help the businesses' employees, and figuring out, you know, if someone had to homeschool their kids, how much financial help could we get from the CARES Act. So I align myself with partners who are experts in the area, who it's their job to keep me up to date. In addition to that, some of my clients have started have sales on the internet, and in 2019 they started sales tax in multiple states, even if you didn't have an office there, if you have an employee. So for every place that you have an employee, the odds are you're going to have to file sales tax in that state. There are four states that don't collect sales tax, but most states, if you have an employee that is now considered, you have a presence there, and since you have a presence, you have to report sales tax.
Wow!
So,
besides the regular employee taxes and stuff like that. Wow.
Correct. And if you're really a small company with employees in multiple states, I would suggest going with a PEO, a professional employment organization, just because
mm-hmm.
they keep on top of the tax filing and all the regulations, and they get back to you. It's their responsibility to make sure you're aware that of all the regulations in that state.
So do they get back to you, or do they get back to the owners of the company who say, oh, you better talk to our CFO?
Every company I work with, the owners get a copy, an email, and I get the same email.
All right. That's you know, I can't even imagine keeping all of that together, Mary Jo. It just seems fascinating to me to have that kind of responsibility, and I want to talk more about that. but you know, we need to take a couple of minutes here to recognize our show sponsor. Right now, our sponsor is Microsoft, and Microsoft's mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. We believe technology is a powerful force and are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. We believe technology can and should be a force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and small ways. Thank you for your support, Microsoft, and to all of our partners. So now back to our show. Mary Jo, you're with me?
Yes.
Here at Trendsetting Women? Okay, and let's get back to finance today. You know, we've talked a lot about your clients and everything else like that. Tell me more about you and the startup of your business, because I know you had started once, then you went and took an in-house CFO position, and now you're back out there as a independent contract CFO. So what works, and how do you want to see your business grow? How is that working for you?
This year, we started growing our business last year. I have a partner and an admin assistant and a bookkeeper to help us keep the work going while I work on developing new projects, customers, as well as new services to offer our existing customers. I was really happy this year to find a good system, a software system, to be able to help my clients plan their cash flow, because it used to be something I could only offer to the bigger clients because it was so expensive. And now I've got a more affordable, quicker, more flexible system for being able to project my clients' cash flow and their balance sheet, so that we know that they have cash in the bank and they meet the metrics that their bank requires or that they need to have in order to reach their goals. I love setting the goals and then finding the tools to plan it and be able to tell, am I on track? Am I not on track? What do I need to adjust?
That's a huge, huge job. It seems like it's a huge responsibility that you bring to the table for clients. And, you know, the help that you have sounds wonderful, but it sounds like a lot really falls on you to understand each of those businesses. Is there a specific target market that you're working with, or is it kind of all over the board?
We work with service companies that and have switched to specializing with the ones with remote employees, because there are people who really need that, and it's so easy to screw up. Like last year, one of my clients that had online sales kept telling me that their sales company was doing the sales taxes, and I kept saying, then they should provide us with the sales tax reports. And they finally got, like late in the year, they finally asked for a copy of the sales tax reports, and they said, no, we don't do the reports. We just gather the information for you.
Wow.
So we were able to recuperate because it was the first year. We were able to get all the reports into all the states, and that was a mad scramble. My partner does does all the sales tax or the regulatory reporting, because she that's what she likes. I like cash flow, and thank God she likes regulatory reporting. And so but there was a lot of midnight oil burned, but just knowing what should be done, keeping on top of what's going on in the industry, reading the emails that come out, if you're paying attention to the client's business, you know where they need help. So, yes, you know, earlier you said I have to get in there and understand each business. Yes, I really have to understand how they make their money, how their cash flows, and where they're going, so that I catch so that I see warning signals earlier than they will see them.
So
sometimes they see them earlier,
I'd love
cash flow is usually.
I know you work a lot of hours. It just seems to me it's overwhelming. But yet you still have, you still take the time to do the learning and things like that. So do you have special days that you designate to work on certain clients, or is it, everything thrown at the end of the month because everybody needs their numbers? How do you work with that?
I've learned that I have to block time out. I try to block the afternoons out because most clients seem to – I've tried to work with when the clients are likely to call for contacts, and then I turn the phone off or put it in another line, because the work time, the research time goes is so much more productive if I don't get interrupted. And then if there's a special project, I frequently work on those in the evening because I can get a longer block of time where I'm not getting interrupted. And I'm working on improving my systems, getting enough help in that I get a little bit more time off. But I also love the work so much that I miss the time off, but I'm not unhappy with the work.
But I guess the thing that I'm curious about, since you have a variety of kind of customers that you do, how do you see the financial aspect of business moving forward? Not because of the pandemic or anything like that, but just because of technology, because of online businesses, how is that getting easier to work with? Is it getting more challenging? And people being able to handle it all, how do you see it?
It is getting a little bit more challenging, but it's getting the details of it are getting easier because of technology. Right now, I have the software that I can take clients' information, I can compare it to other industries or other companies the same size as they are, the same in the same sector, in the same region they are, the same region of the country. So although the bookkeeping is certainly getting easier, because there's so much that you can automate now. You can set up rules, you can set up guidelines, you can set up trends, but being able to compare your client to what their goals are as well as what their competition is doing makes it much more interesting. But it is, it's fascinating. As there's more technology, there's so much more we can tell people.
Well, I guess I would ask you if you do the same thing for your own business.
Well, I certainly
is
do.
Is that always left to the? Oh, we have to catch up.
No, we actually do the bookkeeping for our business. I haven't done the forecasting for my own business yet, and that is on my action list to start doing, because now that I have staff and as much help as I do, I put together a marketing team that I've outsourced to. So I have got all these pieces that I have made some commitments to that I need to guide them and put in the growth pattern that I should be seeing from the investment that we've made this year.
I would really challenge you to make sure that gets done, and to ensure that you have that, because you want your business to grow. Am I correct?
Yes, we definitely want it to grow. I'm excited about the things that I can see coming.
Oh, great. I guess finance not being my forte, I chose this because I think it's important during this time that people, number one, start their planning. Am I correct? Isn't this usually where people do their budgeting and all of that? Is that what you promote with them, or do you do that for them?
Their personal budgeting or the business budgeting?
All of the above.
I generally don't help people with their personal budgeting, but with the business budgeting, yes, I do. And one of my clients who had started business in 2019, I had run into her, and she had been late in getting me some of the information I needed, and she's talking about things that she did, and I said, we need to get together next week because I suspect you're not setting enough aside for taxes. I review all of my clients to, you know, as you head up to each of the tax deadlines to say, you know, you need to get take this information to your CPA, have your taxes reviewed, so because you don't want to have miss an estimated tax payment, and more, most particularly, you don't want to spend the money you're supposed to be setting aside for your taxes.
You know, we used to, when I worked with a company, they suggested that you put your, well, the sales tax money in a separate account so you weren't spending it, so you had it to pay that off, and then also then have that account where you could put the money in for paying your taxes to the federal government. So I guess it depends on the people whether or not you can whether they're open to it. And do you find people resist?
Absolutely. And you know, it's it usually only takes one bad experience where you find out you owe a whole lot more than you thought you would. And then people, they do a number of things. One of my clients just said, I don't want to have all these different accounts. Tell me where I need to set my baseline so I think that everything below that is spent money. And I had a couple people use that approach. And I one of my clients has to have or should have more than $200,000 there. And I've had them for several years. And this year they had to dip under the $200,000 with all the COVID stuff, and boy, they truly had ingrained in their brain that money should never go below $200,000 because that was for taxes and that was for payroll carryover and stuff, and they were flipping out. And I'm like, you know, our income is less this year because of COVID. So if your income goes down, we can adjust that amount. But they truly had ingrained in their brain that's where they had to keep their cash.
Wow. So you're the alert keeper, I would say.
I never thought of it that way, but I think that's a good term.
Mary Jo, just let's make sure people may want to reach you after our show. How would you like your listeners to contact you? By your website or your phone number?
Either way, whichever is best. The website is rcrfinancial.com, and the phone number is 619-719-2624.
Excellent. So, as we come to towards the end of the show, what would be one thing that you would share with our listeners that you think people should know and or do that you think is the most important thing in the financial area?
As you particularly this year, as you head into the end of the year, really look at your estimated how much income you make, so you have the money set aside for the taxes, for the estimated tax payments. And then what are you going to do to grow next year? Because next year is going to be different and more important than most years because of the COVID this year. Really
excellent,
plan for
excellent.
Next year. Think about it now.
Really, really plan. Well, you know, I think it's that time of the year. You know me, I'm always into people making sure they have a plan. But the kind of planning you're talking about goes a lot deeper than what perhaps I would be able to do for people. So I would really like to thank
Barbara,
you.
Barbara, it starts with your plans, and then my plans are the how-to.
How to. There you go. Thank you. Thank you for making that distinction. I'd like to say, so thank you, Mary Jo, for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to our listeners, both here in the United States and internationally, as we are an international show. We'll be back again with Women Lead Radio. And it's my sincere desire and pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening. Go out there and make it a very profitable time, and we'll be gone.
Thank you all. Thank you, Barbara.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.